It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. All right, from horse ballet to UFC. That's what we're doing tonight. Big UFC event. UFC Fight Night comes to the United Center tomorrow night. Actually starts at 3:15. The main event stuff will be broadcast on Fox from 7 to 9, but the UFC is back in Chicago, and that means James Hirth is back in studio with us. He's a reporter who covers MMA. Good to see you, James. How are you?
Good. Good to see you as well.
All right. So there's a lot to talk about. This is the last time you were in studio. I mean, we talked probably, almost a year ago about UFC when the last time they came through town. But, I mean, a lot has happened. First, with the sale of UFC, this was a big deal that the investors sold to WME, which is William Morris Endeavor here in Chicago, Ari Emanuel, brother of Chicago mayor. Talk about this deal. What does this mean for the sport?
You know, it's so soon that it happened that it's really hard to tell. The only thing that's clear is that the Fertitta brothers, the brothers that really grew it, they are not involved. They are a minority owner, you know, but they will not be involved in day-to-day operations.
Is that good or bad for the sport?
Dana White is still the president. He's still the figurehead. So on the surface, you won't notice a lot of difference because he's still going to be talking. He's still going to be the pitch man that you see all the time. But what will be interesting is the Fertittas and Dana worked really well together because they were the kind of behind-the-scenes businessmen, and Dana was the guy you put out there when something's going on. And they had a really smooth, seamless relationship as far as making things work. With this group, these are a whole new group of owners. So who knows? You know, you really don't know. It's so soon that the dust hasn't settled on the sale. You don't know how it's going
to
go.
It's amazing to me, too, though, because, as you mentioned, the brothers and Dana White, I mean, this sport grew.
$2 million.
They bought it for nothing. I mean, this was early on, and talk about the sport, because I think of UFC, and I think, oh, man, I blinked my eyes and I looked up, and in Vegas, everyone's running to an arena in one of the hotels. You're like, why are they going there? And they're like, UFC's tonight. And I'm like, I've never really heard of it. What is this? I mean, to what it is now, where it's a $4 billion sale.
They really added credibility and respect to the sport. They made it become a sport. You know, in the early days, it was a blood sport. It was, you know, it was a thrill on pay-per-view. You know, somebody going to get killed in the cage. And it was that kind of thing where it was more of a shock. Now it's a legitimate sport, you know, with the testing and rules. And, you know, they have the opportunity to hold events in any state in the U.S. You know, I mean, they really have grown it into respectability. Whereas before it was just
You're right. I mean, the contracts alone, when it comes to broadcast rights, I mean, the UFC Fight Nights at the United Center, I mean, these aren't small venues or, you know, broadcast partners when you talk about Fox in the past. So it obviously shows that this product and this entity is moving even in a form even higher.
Absolutely. The Fox deal was huge. Prior to that, they were with Spike.
Right.
And that's where they first started doing The Ultimate Fighter. So, I mean, Spike was the first one to really give them the opportunity. But then signing with Fox, you know, it's huge. They're right up there with the NFL. You know, I mean, you can see, and now you can see a UFC event once a month, you know, sometimes twice a month if they're around the country, or some of these special shows that are just on television that aren't the arena. You know, I mean, they're in an arena, but they're not the pay-per-view.
Does that give opportunity when a brand like this expands and you do want, and audiences want more and more and more, and Fox comes in and says, we'll be the broadcast partner, we want more and more and more. Does that give opportunity to a lot of different fighters? Because There's a heel time involved in these. I mean, it's not like you can, you know, a fighter can fight tomorrow at the United Center and then be ready by Wednesday to fight again.
That's true. An average fighter fights 3 to 4 times a year. But those are the guys that make nice money, that have, you know, good contracts, that have the opportunity to train all the time. The lower level guys, the guys that are on the prelims, they don't get those checks. They get, you know, a decent check, better than they used to, but they have to fight more often. They really have to hope they don't get hurt, because this is how they make their money. You know, and some of these guys maybe are instructors, you know, but some of these guys work at Home Depot. You know what I mean? It's not, it's some of the,
they're don't trying have the to get their to shot. They're trying
time.
To get their shot to go full time.
Exactly.
It's so not it unlike music or acting or anything. It's the same concept that these fighters are doing everything they possibly can to go full time.
Right. So lots of events is a good thing for them, for exposure, to have the opportunity to fight across the country and now across the globe. But it takes a while to get up to those higher paydays. And There are so many fighters now, you know, in multiple divisions across the globe. They keep running these, the Ultimate Fighter reality shows. They've run them in China, in Brazil, you know, they're running them across the globe. So they keep building this stable of fighters from across the globe that, you know, they'll never run out of people. But sometimes the events, you know, you don't get all of those top names because, as I said, those guys only fight three times a year.
We'll talk about this coming up after the break too. But I mean, the fight night tomorrow at the United Center does have big names, most specifically Holly Holm. But we'll talk about that in a second. I'm interested because every time my Twitter feed moves to UFC, I'm like, I should check with James, man. Brock Lesnik. Now he's been an old time kind of and refresh my memory, and I'm sorry for my ignorance because I don't follow the sport that much at all.
I understand,
but he's one of the faces of UFC, or at least early UFC.
About 5 years ago, he was. That's when, you know, Brock came in. It was a big deal. Obviously, the UFC wanted to bring in that world wrestling entertainment.
He was a wrestler,
audience.
Right.
I mean, that really is his background. He was a collegiate wrestler, you know, but I mean, as far as MMA, he hadn't done a whole lot of fighting prior to being in the UFC. He had done wrestling, which, you know, has its own, you know, obviously it's a physically demanding sport.
It's athletic, but it's
but
not as
you're not
real.
Getting punched in the face, you know. I mean, that really kind of changes your game plan. And Brock really doesn't like to get punched in the face, which is a problem when you're a fighter, you know. He did capture the title. He was the UFC champion. He beat Randy Couture, who was about probably 40 pounds lighter than him when they stepped in the cage. And so, you know, I mean, he legitimately won the title. But as far as being a full heavyweight
athlete. It was just
his
name. He's a name.
He's a name. He's an attraction. They got what they wanted out of the transaction.
So he came back. He's kind
of
over the hill in a sense. And he came back to fight.
4 years away.
Right.
Yeah.
And he fought. And it was I don't think he won, right? He's kind of getting.
Well, he won the decision.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But obviously, you know, as we talked about briefly, you know, he's been dinged twice now for drugs, you know.
Yeah. So that's what I'm getting at. So then it comes out that it was last week or the week before that he kind of won that decision, but it came out that he failed his drug test.
Yes.
Then he takes it again. He fails it again.
Right.
What does that mean? I mean, I don't know what the rules are when it comes to drugs and performance-enhancing drugs in UFC.
Well, it really kind of makes the UFC look a little foolish because they gave him a clause. When a fighter returns to active fighting, whatever endeavor you come from, whether it be wrestling or, you know, there's a guy that's really come along from the NFL, a guy from hockey in Canada. You know, so guys have different paths that bring them to the cage. Usually when one comes into that, you have to be tested 4 months prior to entering the cage. They relaxed that rule
for
Brock Lesnar,
right,
to get him back in.
Right.
Because there was some trouble with this card. This was UFC 200, and the top fight, John Jones against Daniel Cormier, that fell out of the mix because, ironically, John Jones got dinged for drugs. You know, so they brought in Lesnar. You know, he came in even before that happened, but now he really had to save the day. He was the name on the card.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, he gets it too. You know, so I mean, it's really, I don't know if he's really going to return to active fighting because honestly, wrestling is a safer sport. Not a safe sport, but it's safer than
MMA. I'm just interested in like what it means, because if you get dinged for drugs in baseball, automatically there you get a negative mark because, you know, you think what happened with steroids and, you know, you're already you see what happens with Manny Ramirez and company where they just don't let him back in the sport, or they let him back in but they're always out. Is it the same thing for UFC, or is it more like, well, you get busted but everybody takes drugs?
There is a definite stigma attached. And since it's becoming, since the UFC has teamed with USADA, USADA is the United States Anti-Doping Agency.
Mm-hmm.
Since they've teamed with them, it's really become critical that they test these guys frequently.
How prevalent is it?
Unfortunately, it seems to be quite prevalent. Because all that happens is someone finds a drug that can mask what they're doing. You know, and they go through their cycles when they're taking steroids.
Mm-hmm.
But like with John Jones and Brock Lesnar, they were dinged for a drug called Clomid or Clomifir, which is used after taking steroids to get natural testosterone levels.
Mm-hmm.
So you would only take something like that if you're hiding something.
They give women for fertility. That's a fertility drug.
It is.
Yeah, that's
it
what
is.
That's for.
Yeah, one of them
crazy.
That John Jones was for, it was for female, you know,
it's for when
fertility.
For
yeah.
Women go and do IVF, right.
Right, and the other one was letrozole, which suppresses amytase. I don't know all my drugs.
Dr. James Hurt in
the
studio.
Natural testosterone in the system.
So it's all about testosterone.
Exactly.
And that can't be good when you're synthetically producing it, because testosterone makes you angry and that's what makes you fight, I guess. Who knows?
It's a contributing factor, right. But when you have these drugs in your system, just by them being in your system, you're trying to hide something.
Yeah, right.
You know, so, you know, sometimes guys will go through different therapies, you know, for injuries and things like that. But they know these tests are coming, or they should know. And even John Jones, his thing was, you know, he's playing dumb, you know, that, oh, I didn't know what was in it. He may have a case that some of the things that they take could have been a tainted supplement.
Right.
But as a professional athlete, when you make your money through your body and you train full-time, you need to be in charge of that.
Is that it for Brock Lesnar? Is he out? I mean,
I wouldn't say he's out, just because he's such a draw.
Right.
A normal guy
would
be out.
Stuff,
yeah,
right.
Money
right.
means everything. And and since he didn't get clobbered at UFC 200,
they'll put him
won,
on another one. Yeah.
But, you know, and his the man he fought, Mark Hunt, who has made his way through the UFC, through Pride, through K1, been around a long time as a legitimate fighter and kickboxer, he said, hey, I want part of Brock's purse. And normally that is the case. When you get dinged for different violations,
they
you
want
get
the
part
money.
Of that purse. That hasn't been stated yet, what's going to happen there.
This is so good, man. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll continue our conversation with James Hurt. There's a reporter who covers MMA. The UFC Fight Night comes to the United Center tomorrow night, July 23rd. We'll continue. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me, James Hurth. We're talking about the UFC Fight Night tomorrow night at the United Center. We don't get a chance to talk about MMA enough on the program. James is our specialist. He comes in to get us up to speed on the sport that is sweeping the nation. Tomorrow at the United Center, Holly Holm. Holly Holm is known. I know Holly Holm because she beat Ronda Rousey. Right? That's pretty much how people know her.
Yes.
She was the one who knocked her out. And they showed that clip on SportsCenter over and over and over.
It was one of the hugest upsets in the sport.
And so she's on the – what is she doing? She's really kind of the – would you say that she's the number one draw tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night she is. But she's already lost her title.
She did?
Unfortunately, the women's bantamweight division has been a revolving door. So Ronda Rousey held the title and obviously got knocked out by Holly Holm. Holly Holm, in her first defense, fought Miesha Tate. Now, Miesha Tate has fought Ronda twice already, and she knows Ronda really well. By fighting the person who really is considered the best, your game is turned up quite a bit.
Yeah, right.
So for her to go in and fight Holly, I think Holly bit off more than she could chew. In her first defense, she could have taken.
Did she get beat in her first defense?
She did.
Come on, man.
She got choked. She got choked unconscious in the fifth round. So
Jesus.
I mean, that's
is
really
that like a term? Is that a thing?
Choked
like
unconscious.
Choked and they did it. Choked unconscious.
Well, it was a rear naked choke.
Nice.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So, but I mean, it shows how well prepared Miesha was. She really had. She really was the number one contender.
Okay. So
and Holly could have. You know, everybody had talked about a rematch with Ronda.
Yeah,
she
I thought
could
that
have
was
sat
yeah, right.
and waited for Ronda. Well, look, Ronda still hasn't come back, and Holly has said that herself. She's like, I'd still be the champion, but I'd be sitting around, and you don't want to get rusty. You know, there is such a thing. As cage rust. Some guys don't believe in that. Dominic Cruz and some other guys don't say there is no such thing as cage rust, but there is,
if
you're just sitting around. So she took, you know, a dangerous fight. She fought Miesha Tate.
Is Miesha Tate now the champ?
No, she already lost. I told you it's a revolving door. She lost at UFC 200 to Amanda Nunes.
Okay, so Amanda's still the champ because that was
That was only weeks ago. She hasn't, unfortunately, had the opportunity to lose.
Right,
but she's very tough. All of these women are top.
Let's get back to Ronda Rousey.
Okay,
and everyone knows that name because she came on the scene. She dominated for so long. She lost that fight.
Right.
She hasn't gotten back in the cage since.
No.
So talk about that. Is that sort of like a hint that she's done with UFC? She doesn't want to fight anymore. That she's more of a celebrity. What's her deal?
It could be. Obviously. She's built her name You know, everybody knows that she's a tough woman.
I was just watching on HBO Fast and the Furious 7, and she comes walking through the door, and I'm like, well, there you go.
Sure. I mean, so she really doesn't have anything else to prove to people, maybe to herself. You know, can she come back from a loss? Because going all that time and not losing, you obviously build a certain ego about yourself that you're undefeatable.
Yeah, right.
And then to be crushed by someone, not just beaten. She wasn't beaten by decision. She was knocked out.
Yeah.
You know, so that had to be a real ego breaker. There was a woman years ago named Gina Carano who came up pretty much the same way, who fought really well. And then she fought a woman who's now in the UFC, a Brazilian woman, who knocked her out, you know, put her out. She didn't knock her out the same way, but she beat her. And Gina Carano never came back. And I think she's also been in one of those Fast and Furious movies, ironically.
that's where UFC maybe it was fighters go to.
Something like that. But yeah, well, when you need a tough action woman, you look for a cage, right?
Right.
I mean, you can't find tougher women than that.
Well, Ronda Rousey, I mean, and you know this about me, and I don't make any qualms about it. I'm not a UFC guy. I don't know much about it, but I do know Ronda Rousey because she was one of those athletes who just dominated. And it doesn't matter what the sport, and whether it be NASCAR or basketball or UFC,
she was everywhere.
You develop a reputation when you succeed at something and excel at something at such a long distance, and she did that.
Right. Well, I think people want her to come back more than she wants to come back, because if she really had that fire, you know, she would have been in the gym, and she certainly physically cleared to fight again. You know, that was quite some time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more, you know, putting her nose to the grindstone, and does she have the heart to return to that type of training? That's a decision only she can
James,
make.
James, you're a guy who follows the stuff, and you covered. I mean, is it okay for her to walk away? I mean, she'll still have that. I mean, she'll be one of, if not the biggest star in UFC history. Everyone knows her. She's crossed over. You see her on Entourage. I mean, she's. Is it okay for her as a fighter to have that loss and say, you know what, my heart's not in anymore. I'm gone.
Yes and no. Most people want to return from a loss just to show that you can still do it, that you still have that fire. She has accomplished so much, not just as a fighter, but as a female, all the things she's done for women, you know, whether you agree with her views or not, you know, everything that Ronda has represented to make women feel good about themselves and strong, you know, and she's a top level athlete and she's beautiful. You know, I mean, she's everywhere. So everything she's been able to accomplish,
sure,
she's an icon in the sport. You would want her to come back, but as a person, It's her decision. I think she'll
always be a legend. Does UFC want her
to
come back? Does UFC
Absolutely.
Put a lot of pressure on her? Like WME's like, Ronda, come on in.
How much pressure they put on her, I don't know. Because the woman that they wanted her to fight, her nickname is Cyborg.
Sure.
And
sure.
Of course. Yeah.
She's got like 17 unconscious chokes, right? Under her belt.
She has a bag of heads in her closet. Yeah.
Oh, God.
But
come on, man.
But anyway, she recently signed with the UFC. So it would obviously be interesting to get her in the cage with Ronda. But Holly Holm is often offered to fight her. Misha Tate. You know, obviously, she's the kind of woman. Well, Misha has lost a few times, and she was the champion. She will be back in the cage. There's no question about it. With Ronda, this was her first loss. And a lot of guys do go a long time without losing, but most do come back.
All right, so tomorrow night, UFC fight night. It's crazy. It starts, gates open at 2:30.
Right.
Fights start at 3:15. The main event stuff's on Fox from 7 to 9.
Correct.
But
correct.
But what else can we? If I were on the fence about going to UFC fight night tomorrow, what should I know about this card?
Well, a couple of good fights. Let's start with the main event. The woman Holly is fighting Valentina Shevchenko. Is a top-rated kickboxer, really accomplished in Muay Thai and traditional kickboxing. She has a record of 67-3 in
Jeez,
kickboxing events.
Wow.
She's 4-1 in her last 5 fights, you know, but so is Holly. Holly is rated number 2 in the division. This woman's rated number 7. So they're coming at each other at a good time. This is a tough woman. They didn't feed her another cupcake. You know what I mean? They're asking her to prove herself her first time back in the cage.
Holly, yeah.
Yeah, Holly is being tested. And, you know, this, just to show you this woman's toughness, this Valentina Shevchenko, a few weeks back, she was in Peru. And before she was doing her training in Texas, but when she was in Peru, there was a robbery in a restaurant that she was eating at.
Oh, I saw the story. Did you? Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
And her coach got shot protecting her. Yeah, she didn't think about pulling out of the fight for a minute. It was just like, well, let's keep moving. And, oh, and the coach is there. So this is, you know, a hard-nosed woman. Yeah. You know what I mean? All of these women, if you step in the cage, you know, you're a true athlete. It's got nothing to do with gender. But the women in this division in the UFC are all a bunch of, you know, killers. They really are. They all can have the title at one time or another.
Let's talk about the other
Other fights in there.
Edson Barboza.
Yeah, that's going to be a great fight because Edson, probably the only guy in the UFC that has stopped people three times with kicks. Just kicking them to where they stopped fighting. He's knocked people out with head kicks. He's broken.
You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah,
man.
No. He does a lot of damage.
Sounds so gross.
Well, he's a premier striker. Gilbert Melendez, the guy that he's fighting, is also pretty good, but he's only 2-3 in his last five. Yeah. Whereas Barboza, he's 3-2, switched to a new camp. He's got his head, you know, right, and he's got a better record, and he's higher rated. You know, I would say Barboza would be the guy to see tomorrow night. Could be a sleeper fight with these heavyweights. There's a guy that's making his UFC debut. I don't want to cripple his name. It's Bojan Majavlik, I believe is how you pronounce it.
Sure. He needs a nickname.
Big dude from Serbia. And I would think that could be – that's on the main card. So that could really be a fight of the night candidate. And then the opening fight.
You've got his rookie card, don't you, Justin?
I do have his rookie card. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, okay. That's okay.
The Chicago area person, Felice Herrick, is fighting. She's going to open the main card against a girl from Hawaii named Caitlin Curran.
All right, so there you go. We've got that's tomorrow night, UFC fight night at the United Center. James Hirth, he covers MMA. He's a reporter who covers mixed martial arts. James, great to see you. Thanks for coming on and giving us
an
update on
me.
UFC.
Absolutely. Thank you.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, WGNradio.com. Yeah, we got to find a nickname for that guy, Rob.
I love it. Yeah, I'm going, man.
You were sold on the kicks.
Absolutely.
The kicks of the head, or as James said, he's got a nice collection, a bag of heads.
Hey, man, nothing like a heel with a solar plexus, you know?
Exactly.
Ouch.
I just want to know where they store the cage at the United Center. They put that in the back and then they only bring it out for the show.
I think they have like three cages that travel the globe.
Oh, they don't just keep it in storage?
No, they assemble it. They bring it. I've seen it on boats, you know, when they have to ship it places.
All the kids from the Blackhawks and the Bulls get to play on it until they come back. All right.